Hey everyone, welcome back. Today, we're going to deep dive into something that might just blow your mind.
Ooh, exciting.
It's all about how, language, affects our interactions with LLM,
Okay, yeah.
especially in programming. A lot of you have sent us some interesting sources, and one of the big takeaways is pretty surprising, actually. You
Really?
might not need to switch to English all the time.
Wow, that's interesting. I always kind of assumed
I know, right?
you had to.
Everyone thinks that, I think,
Yeah.
when you're working with, these powerful tools.
Yeah, that's right. It really does kind of challenge a common assumption, I think. A lot of people believe that large language models,
LLMs.
LLMs for short, are heavily biased towards English. Well, most of their training data is in
Of
English,
course.
but the research you've sent suggests otherwise.
Okay, I have to admit.
Yeah.
I'm a bit skeptical. One of the articles even talks about how the author got an LLM to create a Java program
What?
using a prompt that was a jumbled mix of French, German, and Spanish.
Wow.
How could that possibly work?
Well, it all comes down to how LLMs represent information,
What's the
really.
okay?
It's kind of like if you think of a giant map,
Okay.
but instead of locations, each point represents a concept, right? And this is called the vector space.
Vector space.
Yeah, and so when you use a word, any word in any language,
Okay.
it's like putting a pin on that map. Right? Pointing to a specific concept. So whether you say garbage collection in English, recolección de basura in Spanish, or Müllsammlung in German, you're essentially like hitting the same spot on the LLM's conceptual map.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's like the LLM can see the underlying concept
Yeah.
no matter what language filter we're using.
Exactly. To make it even clearer, imagine like a simple diagram. So let's say we have a circle representing the concept of garbage collection, right? Now imagine like arrows pointing to that circle. One arrow is labeled garbage collection in English. Another arrow is labeled recolección de basura in Spanish. And yet another arrow is labeled Müllsammlung in German. All these arrows, despite being in different languages, converge on the same concept, right? That's the power of the vector space representation. It allows the LLM to understand the meaning beyond the surface level of the words
Wow,
themselves.
that's actually a really helpful visual,
Big
and
good,
that makes
yeah.
a lot more sense now.
Good, good.
So even though this crazy multilingual prompt worked,
Yeah.
does that mean we can just throw any language we want at an LLM and expect it to understand perfectly?
Well, not always. I mean, while the LLM can often grasp the underlying concepts, there are situations where, specific language choices can be advantageous.
Okay, I'm curious, when would that be the case?
Well, think about areas like emerging technologies, where the initial terminology is often established in English. For example, a brand new concept might be coined in English, and it takes time for that terminology to be translated and adopted in other languages.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Similarly, technical documentation is often primarily in English, particularly for widely used software libraries or tools. In these cases, using the established English terminology might lead to more accurate results.
So it's almost like there's a bit of a head start for English in certain technical fields,
Yeah.
which makes sense considering the history of the tech industry.
Yeah, for sure.
But what about when it comes to actually writing code? And you mentioned code comments and naming conventions earlier.
Right. While the LLM can generate code with variables in any language, the reality is that English is often like the default for international collaboration. Think about open source projects where developers from all over the world contribute to the same code base. Using English in code comments and variable names makes it easier for everyone to understand and work together.
Makes sense. I see what you mean. It's about finding a common ground for communication,
Exactly.
especially when you have people from different, linguistic backgrounds working together.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there are definitely situations where sticking with English might be beneficial. One of the articles you sent actually highlights a few really interesting examples of this.
Yeah. Like what?
So, for instance, the term backpropagation in neural networks,
Right.
that term originated in English.
Yeah.
and is deeply ingrained in the field.
For sure.
While you could translate it.
Yeah.
The English term carries a very specific meaning
mm-hmm.
that might get lost in translation.
That's true.
Same goes for legal tech terms like e-discovery,
oh.
which is like rooted in English language legal systems.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I get it. It's like in those specialized fields, the English term is more than just a word.
Right.
It's like a shorthand for a whole set of concepts and practices.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the nuance here is that like it's not an all or nothing situation.
Right.
You don't always have to switch to English entirely.
Okay.
The article mentions the author's experience working with a Spanish team at the European Space Agency.
Oh, wow.
They noticed an interesting pattern. Spanish worked great for like general programming concepts
okay.
and algorithms.
Yeah.
But when they needed to include specific error messages mm-hmm. or stack traces,
mm-hmm.
which are usually in English,
right.
they found that including those English snippets in their Spanish prompts
mm-hmm.
actually helped the LLM understand and troubleshoot better.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
So it's not about like abandoning English altogether,
right?
But being strategic about when and how to use it.
Yeah.
That's a really interesting takeaway,
right.
especially for, you know, developers who are more comfortable working in a language other than English.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now you mentioned stack traces.
Yeah.
And I think that might be a new term for some of our listeners.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's easy to forget that not everyone's, you know, familiar with these technical terms.
Yeah, for sure.
What exactly is a stack trace?
Well, a stack trace is essentially a record of the active functions in a program.
Okay.
At the time an error occurs.
Okay.
And it helps developers, you know, trace the error back to its source.
So going back to the ESA team's experience,
yeah.
it sounds like the LLM could still connect those English error messages to the overall context of
yeah.
the Spanish prompt, thanks to that vector space magic we were talking about.
Exactly. It really reinforces the idea that, you know, LLMs are developing a deeper understanding of concepts,
right.
not just words.
Yeah.
They're starting to grasp the, like, the programmer's intent,
right.
even if the language used is a bit, you know, mixed.
That's pretty amazing when you think about it.
Yeah.
It makes me wonder if this could change how we approach, you know, software development education in the future.
Oh, interesting.
If LLMs are becoming more language agnostic,
mm-hmm.
could we start teaching programming concepts in any language, not just English?
That's a fascinating question.
Yeah.
I think it has like huge implications.
Right.
I mean, right now, a lot of programming education materials and resources, they're primarily available in English.
Yeah, of course.
And this can create a barrier for people who are learning to code in other languages.
Right.
But if LLMs can help bridge that gap,
yeah.
it could open up, you know, opportunities for a much wider range of people
yeah.
to learn and contribute to the tech world.
It's almost like we're moving towards a more inclusive
yeah.
and accessible model of software development.
For sure.
Which is really exciting.
Yeah, definitely.
And it makes me think about the potential impact on, like, open source projects.
Oh, absolutely. Open source projects thrive on collaboration.
Yeah.
But language differences can sometimes, you know, create challenges.
Right.
If LLMs can help translate, like, code comments,
yeah,
documentation,
yeah.
and even, like, code snippets in real time,
yeah.
it could make it much easier for developers from all over the world to contribute to these projects,
right.
regardless of their native language.
That would be a game changer
yeah.
for global collaboration and innovation. It's incredible to think about the possibilities if we can break down these language barriers.
Oh, right? It's really exciting.
And let's not forget about the potential impact on accessibility.
Yeah.
For individuals.
Exactly.
Like someone who, you know, might not have had the opportunity to learn English.
Right.
Could still participate in the tech world
yeah.
and contribute their unique talents and perspectives.
Yeah, totally.
It's really inspiring to think about how these advances in, you know, LLM technology could not only change the way we code, but also make the tech industry a more diverse and inclusive space.
It's important to remember, though, that we are still, you know, in the early stages of this evolution.
Of course, yeah.
But the potential is truly remarkable.
Absolutely.
And as developers continue to, you know, experiment with LLMs in different languages,
yeah.
we'll likely see, like, even more innovative applications and
right.
breakthroughs emerge.
So for our listeners out there
yeah.
who are eager to put these insights into practice,
mm-hmm.
what would you recommend?
Well, first and foremost, I'd say don't be afraid to experiment.
Mm.
Try interacting with LLMs in your preferred language, even if it's not English.
Right.
You might be surprised at how well these models can adapt to your, you know, linguistic preferences.
It's true.
And remember, like, clarity of thought is paramount, whether you're using English, Spanish, French, or any other language.
Right.
Make sure you're communicating your ideas in a way that the LLM can understand.
I think breaking down complex problems.
Yes.
Into smaller, more manageable steps.
Yeah.
That could be really helpful.
Absolutely.
And don't hesitate to, like, provide examples or context to guide the LLM's understanding.
For sure.
The more you can help the LLM grasp your intent, the better the results you'll get.
Exactly.
And sometimes I think incorporating specific English terms, especially those related to, you know, well-established concepts or error messages, can actually enhance the LLM's ability to understand and assist you.
For sure.
So it's all about finding that sweet spot, that balance between leveraging the LLM's multilingual capabilities and using specific English terms strategically.
Exactly.
When needed.
Yeah. And who knows? You might even discover, like, new ways of thinking about programming that you hadn't considered before.
That's the beauty of this technology.
Yeah.
It's not just about, like, automating tasks.
Right.
It's about expanding our own cognitive horizons.
Oh, okay.
And opening up new avenues for creativity and collaboration.
Absolutely.
This whole deep dive has been, like, a real eye-opener.
Yeah.
We started with the assumption that English was, you know, the go-to language for interacting with LLMs.
Right.
But it turns out, like, it's much more nuanced than that.
Yeah. Way more nuanced.
It's true. We're seeing that LLMs are becoming incredibly adaptable when it comes to language.
Mm-hmm.
They're not just, like, translating words, but grasping the underlying concepts regardless of the language used to express them.
It's pretty amazing, actually, when you think about it.
And that has some, like, pretty profound implications for the future of software development, education, even cross-cultural communication.
Yeah.
Imagine a world where language is no longer a barrier to entry in the tech world.
Right.
Where anyone, regardless of their background, can contribute their ideas and build amazing things.
That's a really cool thought.
That's a future I'm really excited about.
Yeah, me too. A future worth striving for.
And thanks to, you know, advancements in LLMs, it feels more attainable than ever.
I think so, yeah.
So as we wrap up our deep dive today, what are, like, the key takeaways for our listeners?
Well, I think the biggest one is don't limit yourself to English when working with LLMs, especially for programming.
Right.
Experiment with your preferred language and see what works best for you.
And remember, like we said, clarity is key.
Yeah, always.
The more effectively you communicate your ideas to the LLM, the better the results you'll get.
For sure.
Break down those complex problems, provide examples, and really think about the concepts you're trying to convey.
That's good advice.
And don't be afraid to incorporate specific English terms when necessary. Right.
Right.
Especially in those specialized fields where those terms carry a lot of weight.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes it's unavoidable.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about finding that balance, that sweet spot between leveraging the LLM's multilingual capabilities and using English strategically to enhance understanding.
It's a balancing act.
This field is evolving so rapidly.
I know.
Who knows what amazing new developments await us?
Right.
The possibilities are truly endless.
Seriously.
If you have any cool insights or experiences, you know, using LLMs in different languages, we'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, share them.
Share your stories, your experiments, your breakthroughs.
That good stuff.
The more we learn from each other, the faster we can unlock the full potential of this transformative technology.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the fascinating world of multilingual LLMs.
Until next time, keep those minds curious and keep coding.